ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC AFL Daily for your Monday. Great to have you with us on the back of a thrilling round of football in round six. Oh, we got a lot to chop up. Ben Cameron joins me as always, and fresh back from Coachella, Mark Murphy in studio. So all of that to come on this episode of AFL Monday.
And the Crows get the win for the Dawson family.
We were aware that he was struggling in the game, and he's had, as I said, potentially had anxiety previously and panic attacks, and our guys were dealing with him in the game that obviously he was having some problems.
Dogs win it, just forward of the wing, Richards to Frazier, gives it away to
Pocket.
Darcy has gone down leading up to the footy, and his left leg has buckled beneath him. He's gone down like a baby giraffe, and Sam Darcy is immediately swarmed by the trainers.
Away to Heath, who gives it off to Sharp. He'll kick to full forward for Melbourne.
Oh!
Gets an almighty sit and comes down with the footy at full forward.
On 774 ABC Melbourne,
ABC Sport Digital,
and ABC Listen.
This is AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben.
Here we are for your Monday, the completion of round six of the AFL Premiership season. Arguably the best round so far, certainly the biggest attendance. We've had a boatload of games decided by single digits, five of them all by 9 points or less, including a couple of thrillers, some outstanding individual performances, Nick Daicos and Jeremy Cameron, and then, of course, lathered with controversy as well. The Elijah Hollands fallout continues after the events of Thursday night. Corbin Middlemass and Ben Cameron in studio. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Corbin. Good to be here. Quarter time in the 2026 AFL season. We are six rounds in, a quarter of the way through the year. Can you believe that?
Amazing. Here we are. Here we are, a quarter of the way in. 1-300-222-774 is the talkback number. That's 1-300-222-774.
I'm very excited to have our man Mark Murphy back. He's made the flight across the Pacific Ocean from Coachella. I'm expecting to see him coming in draped in glitter and maybe some sandals. A little bit of a different attire that they all seem to wear at Coachella. So looking forward to seeing our man Murph. And something that a lot of people who listen to this show would know.
Yeah.
We do things a little differently. And I've in our season previews, put on the agenda the unicorn watch. I feel like there's too many unicorns in the AFL. I've run an audit. Four different players by four different broadcasters or journalists. Too many unicorns.
Too many unicorns.
So we'll get to all of that. And, I mean, we try to bring good energy and have some fun on this show, because sport is fun, but it's been a sad week, really, in following football, hasn't it? So we'll cover off that as well with hopefully the appropriate level of care.
All the ups and downs. Your calls along the way, 1-300-222-774, plus our Mad Mondays on the other side of the latest from the ABC newsroom. As I mentioned, highest attended round of the season so far. So, hey, hats off to the AFL. Jules Hay, who produces our fine program, made a very salient point that maybe this has got to do with the fact directly following Gather Round, which I didn't mind, given the fact that people in other states or other cities outside of Adelaide starved to footy. And so why not everyone get there in big number, your first little bit of a running start, Ben? First one in, 2 weeks?
Oh, I think that makes sense. I like it. The game is looking good, though, isn't it? And you've been big on the fact that people are almost complaining about the lack of contested style that we're seeing in the game. We had five games in 2025 where both teams scored 100 points. I mentioned already we're a quarter of the way through 2026. We've already had six games. So more already in 2026 where both teams score over triple figures. Big deal, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's and then all these close run things on the weekend, which we absolutely loved as well, and some outstanding individual performances. All right, the breaking news, Ben, that you would have just picked up on if you're listening to the news here on ABC Radio, is that Zach Butters has been cleared.
Yes. So the fine has been overturned. It was decided essentially that Jason Johnson's conduct wasn't fit for a tribunal hearing. So what we've got to the bottom of here is this was a flawed process. Not essentially that Zach is not guilty of the crime, if I can say that in inverted commas. The appeals board did offer a rehearing, but the AFL knocked it back.
So after all this, yep, after 8 days, we'll never know. We'll yep never know whether he said it or he didn't say it or what they heard. Essentially, they've said 8 days is long enough, over a $1,500 yep fine and, you know, thousands of dollars in lawyer fees, and essentially we're done with this case.
People say there's no winners in this case. I disagree. I think the legal firms have been significant winners out of all of this.
So if it also included this comical moment from Jason Johnson, of course, the whole tribunal yep case where he's, you know, moving from the laptop to the phone and then he drops out as part of the tribunal to essentially for 5 minutes and then comes back in again, and then he's moving, he's driving a vehicle while he's essentially hearing this case. Well, today it went up a level again. Mm. So the Port Adelaide lawyer, Paul Ehrlich, I think is how it's pronounced. So the Port Adelaide lawyer, Paul Ehrlich, his dog was barking loudly. And while he's making the case that it's such a shambolic process that Jason Johnson was driving around, he's had to ask the tribunal hearing to pause while he puts his computer on mute and removes the dog from the room. Like, this is what we're dealing with.
Not from the room. But I think to just go and deal with the dog and maybe
you've
give him a bone or something.
You've got to be kidding. We got
throw him a bone.
We got to get off Zoom.
Yeah.
Zoom's done.
Yep.
Zoom was a COVID time thing.
WFH.
That's 2020, 2021. We're done with it. Let's get everyone back in the room. Yep. This is embarrassing for the AFL.
Yeah. It's fairly comical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what it makes me think of? Remember that guy who was doing the TV cross, I think, on the BBC, and his little tablet comes marching into the room.
That was awesome.
And then the mum comes
try and collect them.
Drags the baby out of the toddler.
Awesome.
It's
awesome.
Like that. Come on, guys.
AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben and this man, and what better intro? Mm. We couldn't think of an appropriate introduction to bring him back. So we decided to lean on a friend that...
Friend of the program.
Friend of the program, just to serenade him back into the show.
I know you love me, I know you care, just shout whenever, and I'll be there. You are my love, you are my heart, and we will never, ever, ever be
apart. Are you singing along, Murph?
Sound like me, didn't it?
It did.
Here he is, the Carlton champion, the man the coaches voted as the premier player in the game back in 2011, Mark Murphy. Hello, Murph.
I've never been happier to be introed with Biebs playing in the background, but are you a believer already? You would be, I reckon.
Sure. I thank you more than anything that I never thought in my sports broadcasting career I'd get to mention Coachella as much as I have in the last week and a half. We've spoken more about you when you haven't been here than when you were here. I'm not going to repeat too many of the things they said, but
not a lot of positivity, probably.
Well, we don't usually have a team sheet here on the ABC that says Murphy out, Coachella in brackets. But how was it?
It was big. It was one of those things. I got told to go basically by my wife, so she booked a two ticket pass, and I was the lucky one to follow suit. But it was one of those things that I never thought I was ever going to Coachella. Never really wanted to, but enjoyed it, and I don't think I'll be going back.
Give me your top three. Who were the best acts?
Oh, Biebs was very good. I liked Fatboy Slim. Yes. He was very good. And then my top three, Fatboy Slim was number one.
Yep.
Biebs was number two. And then my third would have been David Guetta.
I like it. You were big on him pre.
Yeah,
we saw the video that went around, and he was the guy that you were most looking forward to seeing. So that's Murph's top three out of Coachella. That's awesome. What a cool experience.
It was pretty good. There was some interesting fashion sense over there. I was certainly very stock standard. I'll tell you, I was very safe with what I wore. But anyway, one of those things that never thought I was going to do. I did it, and I'll never go back. But here we are talking about Coachella.
Why wouldn't you go back?
Just logistically getting in and out of the joint was an absolute nightmare. So
you would have been camping, I'm sure.
That was what got me over the line to go camping. I've never been camping before. Let's go over to Palm Springs and do it. But the shuttle buses getting out of there was a nightmare.
Wow. Yeah.
So there was a few shuttle buses. Apparently took 3 or 4 hours actually getting out of there at 1 o'clock in the morning, getting back to the resort at 4 or 5.
Jeez. Yeah. When'd you get back?
Resort.
You spent more time on the plane than you did on the ground.
I did. I was only short and sharp, got two kids at home. So I was just ducked across and straight back. So I got in on Friday.
There's been a little bit happening.
I missed Thursday, so we can't talk about Thursday night's game from last week.
Well, I think we're going to have to talk about Thursday night's game. Elijah Hollins and the fallout continues, the investigation more so continues from the Carlton Football Club, determining what on earth happened, why it happened. Graham Wright did press yesterday and was asked the question about what they knew and when.
We were aware that he was struggling in the game, and he's had, as I said, I'm not quoted on this, that potentially had anxiety previously and panic attacks, and our guys were dealing with him in the game, that obviously he was having some problems.
You mentioned off the top that the Cops put the most wrinkles they can into Elijah. Do you feel that was the case on Thursday night, or could you have done better as a
club? I think everyone's got the right and to ask those questions, and we're asking those questions of ourselves, and as I said, we're really determined to get to the I suppose a better solution for what happened in that game. But as I said, we understand people have got to ask those questions, and we're asking them of ourselves as well.
So, Ben, still more questions than answers. John Ralph reported tonight on the News Corp papers that Elijah Hollins has volunteered for drug tests and for screenings, that he told Blues officials leading into the game that he was struggling with his mental health, but said that he wanted to remain on the field on the night. Carlton supposedly getting together, according to John's reporter, a timeline of events, which would then be handed over to the AFL. And it was also confirmed that the club psych actually wasn't there on the night. So the club doctor was, but the club psych was not on the bench or at the game.
Yeah, so that's the latest news and where we stand at the moment. I'm actually really intrigued, given you're a Carlton person, Murph, you're a former player, you're a former captain. What's been your overarching reaction to all of this?
Yeah, look, it's I flew in on Friday and saw the vision that we've probably all seen, and difficult to watch, and something that I've never seen on a football field ever. So I'd be interested to know what you guys actually thought being on there on the night when you did pick up that there was something amiss. But as a Carlton person and as a footballer, the immediate thought was just, I hope this guy's okay, because. Whether or not he's taken drugs or what's happened, or it's just been a mental health issue, which is what they're saying, it's pretty scary to look at, to see a player that was just looked like he just wasn't quite there at all. So that was my initial thought. And then hopefully they get to the bottom of it, because I think for his sake and for everyone involved in football, that's the last thing you want to see someone experiencing that in front of 85,000 people on a national stage.
It's interesting to read John's report. We had the conversation on Friday night, and I essentially said if there was to be further drug testing at this point or whatever, I actually felt like the one person that would benefit that more than anyone is Elijah.
100%.
I mean, this guy, and I take the Blues completely on face value that this is a mental health episode. It's consistent with that for people that have an understanding of mental health. So if I was him, I would want that too, to sort of quiet down some of the speculation that's been happening online, and we know what an unsavoury place that is. We've heard from lots of footy people over the weekend, Murph, and you're one of them as well. Is it surprising that something like this can happen, that if someone is experiencing a mental health episode that it's not detected in the hours leading up to the game or by one of his teammates or a line coach or whatever it turns out to be? It seems unusual that a guy could sort of run around while battling with that. And clearly he was impacted by it. I mean, essentially Carlton played one short for the 70-odd minutes he was out there. As you said, we've all seen the vision by now. It's amazing to think that it didn't go detected, or at least Carlton removed him from the game before they did.
Yeah, so this investigation that they'll go through this thoroughly is you'd be asking players, coaches, medical staff, did you pick up on anything that you saw that was awry? And whether or not, and I've been doing a bit of reflection about it too. It's like, well, when did this actually start occurring? Was it prior to the game? Is it as soon as he turned up? They think, oh, maybe he's just not quite there, is he, tonight? And then it just got progressively worse. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. Is it something that happened just prior to the game? Those are the questions that need to be answered, aren't they? So I'd be thinking, if I was a player who was playing on the night, and a lot of players are really zoned in, so you sometimes you're in your own world, so to speak, in that 2 hours prior to a game as well. So some guys are very laconic, where they're just going through the motions. Other guys are just zoned in; you can't talk to them at all. So I'm not sure what he's like usually before a game. He comes across as a bloke who's up and about and jumping around, and was he doing the same things? And I'm not too sure what those answers are.
It's actually interesting you mentioned that, because I was in Adelaide the week before and I was on the boundary and doing interviews when he was warming up, and he was having a goal-kicking comp with his brother, and he was fairly jovial, kicking snaps from the boundary. There's video of him in the warm-up not making the distance from about 25 metres out. I think, as much as anything, the more I reflect on this, I think it's an extreme example of an insular club. Like, we speak about when Carlton struggle, everyone goes insular and worries about themselves or themselves. It feels like this was another example of that, where people were worried about themselves in a silo. There was no kind of, oh, gee, my mate over here doesn't look that good. Maybe I need to try and help him or do something to help him or sort him out in some way, shape or form.
I didn't think the way Michael Voss handled it afterwards, well, at the time I didn't think it was great. I certainly think in retrospect, now that we know it was a mental health episode, doesn't reflect well on him either, in the fact that he basically came out and said, what was the quote? Along the lines of, he feels like he's let me down. Mm. We might be able to play that for you in just a moment. But I think that's it, Murph. There's key questions that need to be answered. Yeah, how can this happen? How did no one blow the whistle on it? Who instructed Michael Voss to handle the press conference in that kind of manner? And the other thing is, how can you not notice from a performance point of view? So even if you set the welfare to one side, to know that you're so hampered, you got one guy running around out there who's not his usual self, surely that significantly hurts the club from a playing perspective, whether that's one of his line coaches or the senior coach. That was probably the most puzzling part of it, and certainly one that that our guys made the observation of on the night, that something's not quite right here with him when it comes. I mean, he was in the coaches' votes 2 weeks before, so he's been playing some really good footy.
He's probably been their best performer this year almost. He's been in the top five quite a few times, I would have thought, on a few of those occasions. And then the one thing that pricked my ears too was the fact that they didn't have a psychologist. Yeah.
Is that unusual?
Well, it's probably changed a lot since when I was playing. That's 5 years ago now, where it was only really in the last probably 4 or 5 years that clubs are delving deep into having a psychologist within the club. Not so much on game day. I'd assume that most clubs would have one on game day. It'd just be just part of the game day staff.
I know that Collingwood certainly do. They have Jackie Lauder who sits on the bench, and players speak to Jackie frequently in game. Like when I'm on the boundary, I see them often come off and we'll sort of have a chat to Jackie and reset and then go again.
Yeah, so like the last few years in my career, there was definitely a psychologist. I'm not sure if she's still involved with the club or not, but she was on the bench, which guys use from time to time, and some guys would use her all the time. Some guys wouldn't speak to her. It's very much an individual thing, but that was one thing that surprised me when you said that.
Yeah, I think the club psych changed late last year, so there's a new psych in position. This is Michael Voss, by the way. Everything we know now, and what the Blues obviously were told in the 15 to 20 minutes after the game, once this this vision had circulated, we were certainly aware of it in the second half. This is what Michael Voss had to say about it on the night.
He's pretty shattered with his game, to be honest with you. So I spoke to him after the game, and he was really disappointed with how he started the game. Really upset. Sort of feels like he's let me down. So I had a good chat with him. So he was pretty emotional after the game. Didn't play a great game, and he struggled to get his way into it. And feels obviously clearly really disappointed with his performance, and obviously with the importance of the night. He sort of feels like he's let people down. But we just got to keep supporting people through those. Through those situations.
The AFL obviously have asked Carlton for them to hand over the findings of their investigation to when that happens. I mean, this was a Thursday night event, Ben. We're sitting here on Monday night. We haven't had an update today from the footy club. Michael Voss is due to speak on Thursday. So he'll chat Thursday at 10 a.m. the next we hear from him on it. This is AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben and the Carlton champion Mark Murphy in studio. Your calls on 1300 222 774. Ben's unicorn list is on the way, which is a tough segue. Also, the Saints in the news after Ross Lyon's press conference. We'll get into some of that next here on AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben and Mark Murphy on 774 ABC Melbourne. The Saints, Ben, in the news again.
They certainly are, and because of your chat with Andrew Bassett, their president, earlier on today, and this was in the wake of Ross Lyon and his performance at his press conference after their loss to Adelaide. So
should we hear that first?
Yeah, let's listen to Ross first.
I think five out of our first six opponents have all been finalists, prelim, back-to-back premiers and finalists bar one. And we've been in all of those games. I would think if you take out win-loss, we've improved. Is that rational and logical?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, you're allowed a judgment. What do you think?
I thought you respect people don't care what I think, but yeah.
Yeah, no, well, they do, yeah. Yeah, no, but your opinion, yeah.
But yeah,
yeah.
Had Steve Larkin there, the experienced AAP reporter, which is fair. So this isn't my press conference. Yeah. This is your press conference. That drew a lot of criticism, including from Liam Pickering, who's a player agent as well as a media commentator across the weekend.
So I've been critical of Ross before that I feel like he goes after people in the press conference sometimes or will ask them a question rather than just answering the question in the best manner that he can at any given time.
This is Andrew Bassett, who was sat in your seat, Ben, this morning here on Raf Epstein's show on ABC Melbourne, and I'll put the question to him.
Are you happy with his presentation?
Yeah, Ross is an interesting person. You know, overall, I love Ross. He's a very driven person. He really wants to win. He's hungry. It's a pretty tough situation when you put coaches in. You have 1 point lost. You don't have much luck in the running, and you've got to find an interview. And I think Ross is much better with good questions than he is with bad questions. I cop it myself from time to time. If I ask a question, he thinks he's stupid. And I think, ask stupid questions, win stupid prizes, is his view. So, and I think Ross wants to win. He's put in a difficult situation. I think if he gets an intelligent, fair question, he'll respond to it fairly. If he doesn't, he's perhaps more honest than most coaches about the fact that he doesn't feel that way.
I was just about to say, he's not the only coach who gets dumb questions, and he's not the only coach that has to do media after a one-point loss.
He's probably more honest than most in terms of his unwillingness to accept the things that are less than appropriate, if that makes sense. And he does that at the football club, and that's why we love him. He wants to be the best we can be, and he doesn't walk past mediocrity.
So that was Andrew Bassett this morning answering it the best way he can as the president of the St Kilda Football Club. So he knows if he says there that he's unhappy with the presentation, that's a story. And then ultimately it's become a story anyway in the way that he's handled it. What do you make of that, Murph?
I enjoy it. I know Ben's licking his lips here. He loves talking about St Kilda and Ross Lyon. But he's right in the fact that he gives probably more than most coaches in terms of the honesty. You know exactly where you sit, what he thinks, which I like. It's good. It's good fodder for us to talk about. You don't want everyone being the same. Mm. I understand where the criticisms lay because he comes across and he sort of the way in which Bassett then talked about where he asks stupid questions, he gets stupid prizes. I've had a bit of a wry smile at that, but because there's no stupid questions apparently.
Yeah, no correct. Silly questions. It's often the most simple questions in broadcasting and journalism and whatever that actually elicit the best responses.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, I don't like that if that is a view that is shared across St Kilda. I watch pretty much every coach's press conference after a game, Corbin, and I've picked out a couple of things from the last couple of weeks from Ross Lyon. So after the win against Port Adelaide, this is a little bit of what he's had to say about their win.
Yeah, we jump out pretty well, don't we? Like, we've been doing that. Talk about being brave emotionally and leave no alibi, leave no excuse. Because in some ways it's easier to come from behind because if you fall short, you're more devastated when you've been in front and you lose. So
no alibi, no excuse. And then this was him in the post-match press conference on the weekend.
Just a vagary of the AFL draw that you've come to that? Or
well, it
that
must be. Must be a vagary.
But it's happened a few times, though, that you've had to come back up.
That's okay. Yeah. Vagaries happen consistently.
So what's he intimating there, that St Kilda have got the rough end of the pineapple through Gather Round, having to play back-to-back games in Adelaide? So what happened to no alibi, no excuse?
It's gone.
That's the Ross Lyon I knew. Anywhere, anytime, any opponent. And now we get, it's a vagary.
The news in the footy world today, Ben, is that Zach Butters has won his appeal. So it says Butters cleared, but essentially what the appeals board does is they chuck out the case completely. The appeals board acknowledged that Jason Johnson's conduct wasn't fit for a tribunal hearing where he found himself driving during being one of the three men to decide the fate of Butters. So understandably, they threw that out. The appeals board offered a rehearing, but the AFL council actually confirmed before the hearing started that if there was an error of law, that they would not attempt to retry the case. So an incredible night again at the appeals board. And after 8 days, essentially, there's no conclusion. So there's no fine for Butters, but we don't know who was guilty and who was not guilty and whatever it turns out to be, but it just disappears.
They're always going to use that as leverage, I reckon, the AFL, weren't they? As soon as everyone found out about Jason Johnson missing part of that hearing, that was all. Port Adelaide were definitely going to use that, and the AFL always going to use that as part of the reason why the fines have been squashed.
Yeah. It was a bit of a misstep from Jason, wasn't it?
A little bit.
A fair misstep.
Enormous.
A few texts coming through. That's part of the problem with Carlton. Why didn't Voss take him off after the first quarter? This is with regard to Elijah Hollins. Do you reckon coaches like Chris Scott or Sam Mitchell would have left him out there? No chance, says Mick. And Fran says, mad. Co-workers banging on about Mark's trip to Coachella. That's what you do when your partner tells you to go.
Yeah, it's so, just being supportive. Yep,
supportive partner. Yeah, so right. Fran's on your side.
Yeah, good. Yep. Ben's unicorn list coming up, we're very excited about. Your calls on 1-300-222-774. Big winners, big losers out of the weekend. Yeah. Give me some winners. Who are some good winners?
Are the D's. They are the masters of the Sunday afternoon
slick
3:15 time slot.
Yeah.
4-0 at 3:15 on a Sunday, 0-2 in any other time slot in 2026.
Yeah, 4-0 at the G as well. Yeah. So and kicked over 100 points in all of them. Underdog in all four, won all four. I actually think there's something about the G with them. They got all these elite runners, guys like Langford and Langdon and Sharp. I actually feel like their game
suits it.
Yeah. Also, the other thing, Murph, is we know that with young developing teams, the last thing that usually comes together is the road form, isn't it? Being able to take it away from home.
Yeah. So. And I think you're right with the personnel they've got. They've got real pace. And the way in which the game opens up, especially after halftime, that's when their best ball users come into the fray. And their running ability, but their pure pace is something that catches teams off guard.
So Paul Guerra said to Stephen King as part of the interview process, what do you think of our list? And he said, I don't know, I need to see your GPS data first. And so that to your point, Corbin, you know, their running capability is significant, and we are seeing that at the MCG.
A lot of Kangaroos fans will be thinking, what about us? We're a big winner. They're 4-2 on the season. Big deal, no big deal, the Kangaroos?
Oh, I think it's a big deal. They've spruiked this as their spike year. Yeah. Alistair Clarkson getting a clean run at it. I think it's a big deal. They've had not a bad run to start the season. So that West Coast loss is going to...
They've had an absolute layup. Yeah, they should be 5-1.
Yeah.
And they're excited about being 4-2. I don't want to rain on their parade, North Melbourne. But they have the third hardest draw in footy over the next 6 weeks. Here's their next six, Murphy. Tell me where the wins are coming from. Giants in Canberra, Geelong at Cadinia Park, Sydney back at Docklands, Adelaide in Adelaide, and then the Gold Coast before the bye.
Probably the Giants this week in Canberra. I think they're a good chance.
Might be their best option.
Yeah.
Let's hit the phones. 1-300-222-774. Corbin and Ben with Mark Murphy on AFL Monday on ABC Radio across the state. Peter from Karajini is the first of our callers. Hello, Peter.
G'day, guys. I'm doing it tough here up in the Pilbara.
Yeah, good.
I just blew out my thong, but I opened a bottle of Pinot Gris as a painkiller.
Beautiful.
Hey, just thinking that for a team that's only one game, Carlton gets a lot of press. But since they play the Dockers next, I sincerely hope they don't sack Voss because I don't want the Dockers to have to face a team on the bounce.
Mm. The old dead cat bounce, Peter.
Been screwed in the first round. Sorry?
The old dead cat bounce
after
that.
But actually, the way Carlton are going, they'd probably stuff that up too.
Good on you, Peter. Appreciate your call. Thoughts on the Dockers? They're humming along.
They're going well, aren't they? They're almost a little bit under the radar still. I mean, they always sort of are when you're over west and you're here in Melbourne. They're not a big draw card, but they just keep on chalking up wins and they'll certainly be there around the pointy end.
Yeah, they need Hayden Young up and going, which they had on the weekend. I just worry whether there's enough dynamism in that midfield and that midfield gets beaten regularly. I mean, they do have Murphy Reid and they've also got Shea Bolton now, which give them a bit of X factor. I've plagiarised this question, but Murphy Reid or Harley Reid, which one would you rather have?
Mm,
It's a good call because Murphy Red's showing a lot, isn't he? I like him, but I think you still got to you gotta sit with Harley still. I think
I'm just Harley too.
Because really, at the end of the day, it's a lot easier playing in a side that's going really well as a young player. So and the spotlight that's on Harley is significant. So you've got to take that all into consideration. The Eagles, when they're up and going in probably years to come, and seeing him part of that in full flight, I think would be really exciting to watch.
We miss you on Thursday night too for multiple reasons. Brett Delidio shouted you out on the run as soon as the final siren went. He said, look, it's great ball he's here, but I wish I sat next to Murph and watched him squirm for four quarters of footy.
It would have been a tough watch for me on Thursday night, just everything associated with it too. But and what thanks for Lidser.
He thought of it. Yeah. And what about your man Nick Dacos, who you were his favourite player growing up? He was a Carlton fan for a period of time, and then against the team that he grew up supporting. As the son of a Collingwood icon, goes out there and plays one of the best quarters of footy we're going to see all year. It was phenomenal.
So, someone put up his last quarter disposals, and it was just good to watch, wasn't it? That was just pure class. And our man just keeps all. It's actually our man, isn't it? He's the number one player in the game, Nick Dacos. And he put an exclamation point at the end of that on Thursday night.
Do you know what I was thinking more about this argument too? I don't even think Bont's number two. I got Zach Butters number two in the best players in the competition.
Yeah, but
you're
biased towards Zach.
No, I don't know about that. Anthony from Wild Dog Valley is the next of our callers. Hello, Anthony.
Anthony.
G'day. Benny.
Oh, what have
How
you got
you?
For me? Good, thanks, Anthony. You're at the fire pit?
Yeah, no, I just dropped the boy off at a mate's place, so no fire pit on a Monday night. But I just wanted to ring in because, the shout-out that you guys gave me on Saturday just made my day. I was laughing my head off. I couldn't believe it. I'm not an AFL player. I'll never be like Mark Murphy and get to play in front of 100,000 people, but I've climbed the mountain now. Like, I didn't even have to get called and I got mentioned. So happy.
We're very pleased, Anthony. And what
it's
I would
just
say
a
is...
social call, is it?
This is what happens when Corbin isn't there to host and I'm there. We're more generous with our text message reading. And we referenced Anthony, who's Borley's favourite, because he's got the fire pit in Wild Dog Valley. Yeah. We love you, Anthony. One of our favourites. Give us a weekly check-in on the fire pit.
As always, I will. And... yeah, love you to bits. And you should host more if that's the sort of content that's going to come through. Geez,
that's enough,
like,
I think.
Just bring it on.
Yeah, that's enough from you, Anthony. Jeez. How brazen. I'm sitting
right there.
Never take a day off in the media.
Unbelievable. Well, appreciate Anthony's social catch-up with Ben. 1-300-222-774 is the talkback number. Trish in Carlton is the next of our callers. Hello, Trish.
Hello. How are you?
We're well, thank you.
You're just going to make me put this down. Sorry, I'll put this down. I wanted to say I was at the game on Thursday night and I didn't see anything real. I mean, yes, he wasn't playing great. You could see that he wasn't playing great, but there was nothing that really sparked that there was a real issue. And then I heard the hoo-ha, so I watched the replay. I went home and I watched the replay and I watched it on the AFL replay, which was the Channel 7 transmission. Not once during that game was it mentioned, during that call of that game was it mentioned. And at half time, Sam Walsh did approach Elijah Hollins, because that was actually captured on film, and lip reading, he said, "Are you okay, mate?" And he said, "Yeah, fine." Right? Now, Michael Voss is being... it's almost like when a dog is down, you just keep kicking it in the guts. And I'm really getting tired of everything. And yes, Elijah should be protected. Yes, his well-being is paramount. Vossi's come out. He's not being rehearsed. He's not being coached. He's been stupid in being honest and saying what was said to him. And yes, it's probably poor form. And maybe he should be smarter and maybe he should be more skilled. But I'm finding it really, really tough. And I know this is fun for some people, but it's actually not for a lot of us. And I don't think that this is serving anyone well. And I watched also the replay of 3AW with Tony Shaw and Joel Selwood being interviewed, right, with just after it. And I've watched Tony Shaw again, and everyone's missing the point, and those guys have got it right. We all have to back off and be kind. And at the moment, the media is being scathing of Carlton, its management. No one's saying it's perfect, and yes, it should be. But at the moment, let's wait for the investigations and stop putting hyperbole and confusing the matter. And I'm, as a Carlton passionate supporter, I'm ashamed. Yes, I am. But I think we need to clear all the facts before we keep kicking this dog down any further than what it already is.
Good on you, Trish. Yeah. Appreciate your call and your passion.
Great passion, but,
yeah,
from Trish.
Thanks, Trish. We could hear the emotion in your voice. We were working the game on Thursday night, so a few things. Like I appreciate that you were there and watching, and you went back and watched the replay. Our experts and other experts who were commentating the game noticed that Elijah was well off and how unusual that was. I was on the boundary, Trish, so that the word filtered down to me, and then I had a closer eye on Elijah, and I could see that he was behaving in an unusual manner. I also know that people who were on the Channel 7 broadcast were aware of that, and I think the care that you're calling for was hopefully what we displayed on Thursday night.
And other broadcasters. There's a reason why it wasn't highlighted. Yeah. The point you're getting to, absolutely. Yeah. The reason why it wasn't highlighted on 7 and on Fox. And our role as the Fourth Estate, as the media, I know it's sort of hard to believe in the modern world and the way that, you know, that the media has been treated in global politics over the last 10 years and everything else, but the role of the Fourth Estate is to essentially hold authority to account and to ask questions, and that is a very healthy part of the process too. So the questioning of the Carlton Football Club is actually a good thing. It's not a sport. It's not that, you know, no one's getting any joy out of it. And I actually think it's for the protection of, you know, the players, to make sure that these things are dealt with as professionally as they can be.
Yeah, so I think I would hope that upon reflection, and I think, Elijah, not to... Trish, speaking about Elijah, that we treated him with care and compassion on the night and have since.
Yeah. The AFL's released a statement regarding the appeals board this evening into the Zach Butters case. The AFL apologises for the inconvenience caused to the parties for the error of law that has led to this outcome, in particular to Zach Butters, to Ollie Wines and to Ben Rutten of the Port Adelaide Football Club, as well as umpire Nick Foote. So basically, no one's happy.
How do you think Nick Foote's feeling right now?
It's a great question. I'll ask you this. He's probably, like the rest of us, happy that we're no longer talking about it, isn't he?
Yeah,
100%.
He went and umpired the game on the weekend, went off without a hitch. He's one of the top eight umpires, I think, in the game. He was an emergency for the grand final last year. He's umpired one in the past. So there's the chance that they could have the case retried. He doesn't want that, does he? Like, no. I'm sure Nick Foote would be like, look, if they get off at appeal, whatever, we'll move on. He got to tell his version of events. The tribunal sided in favour of him. And then when it went to appeal, that process didn't hold up. And we'll never know. He'll know and Zach will know. And
they both have their own truths, don't they? Just sticking to it.
And that's where it's going to sit.
Move on.
Big losers out of the weekend. Slash our Mad Mondays. If you've got one, you're more than welcome to call now. So 1-300-222. 1-300-222-774. That's 1-300-222-774. What made you mad from the weekend of footy?
And not to make light of the seriousness of what Trish was speaking about, but that's what we want, some genuine passion like we got from Trish when you call up on 1-300-222-774. I'm mad about Sam Darcy's ACL injury. Same round, same venue, same opponent, 20 years on from his dad's ACL injury.
Scary, isn't it?
Spooky. Very spooky. But what I'm mainly mad about is the fact that we won't get to see him for the best part of 12 months. He's so exciting, and I've just got to watch on Aaron Norton. So with Darcy last year, 52 goals from 17 games. Without Darcy, 8 goals from 6 games. So I think as much as anything, he helped Aaron Norton.
So not only are you losing Sam Darcy, you're probably losing the best of Aaron Norton, aren't you? So and I was a big supporter of the Bulldogs, and it's almost just their flag hopes have just diminished overnight, haven't they? Not only just the defeat that they were on the second copped from Geelong, but to have Sam Darcy go down the way in which he did was a frightening one to watch, just the way and how easy ACLs go. But just, you know, to lose a talent like he is just sad for the game, really.
Yeah. They just got to go more offense here. I think that's Luke Beveridge's only answer. Last year, they were still the number one ranked offense, even when he didn't play, incredibly, in the weeks that he missed. But their spine's just been completely decimated. So clearly, whatever they were doing with the back line hasn't held up. So it's back to run and gun and score from stoppage. And we saw that last year, obviously, at record pace. But Lob, O'Donnell, English, Darcy. That's your fullback, centre-half back, ruckman, and your centre-half forward all down, plus Liberatore on top of that. Jesse, I'm mad this Monday about the AFL's Friday night scheduling. Running two games simultaneously is absolutely ridiculous and treats fans like they have two sets of eyes. School holidays provides a perfect window for staggered double headers that actually work. We should be looking at 6pm bounce on the East Coast, finishing by 8.45. We could then roll straight into a primetime match out in WA starting at 8.30. This creates minimal overlap and gives a full night of continuous footy. Corbin is spot on. Should have read this one earlier about the schedule. The logic holds up, especially when you consider the impact of short turnarounds between matches. Give us a twilight into night slot. It's better for the kids, better for the fans, and better for the game. Sort it out. From Jesse in Inverloch off the SMS.
Also from Aaron in Ivanhoe says, I would argue that while the media is still talking about this and therefore not affording this young man his privacy, it is not being respectful, nor kind, nor compassionate. I would sort of echo, I disagree with Aaron on that. I think the point is now is to...
The conversation's really about Carlton, isn't it?
It's really about Carlton. Yeah. And like, holding...
I don't think anyone's having the conversation about what's happening with Elijah.
We're not so much worried about Elijah outside of him getting the help that he needs and hopefully being okay moving forward. The question is to hold people to account and hopefully prevent this from happening again. That we don't, we're not in this situation again with another player. That's what we feel like our agency is over this situation, I think.
Richmond's injury, second week in a row. I'm going to come back here on the back of the three injuries they picked up on the weekend. So the three that they lost on the run yesterday, they lost Sam Banks, which was a collarbone, so that's pretty hard to determine. But Morris Rioli does a hamstring and concussion for Tim Taranto. 2024, they had the most injuries out of any team in the competition. End of the year, they changed the strength and conditioning coach. 2025, they had the second most, which was probably lost a little bit by the fact that Essendon had a ridiculous amount. And then prior to the weekend just gone, they'd had the third most amount of games lost to injury. So they have not been able to get their best team on the park. They also lost Traynor and Piker in the VFL to injuries. So it's actually undermining everything Adam Muzzo's trying to do by the fact he can't get his best team on the park. So these are almost wasted years in the rebuild because you're not getting 10, 15, 20, 25 games into your core group of top picks.
Yeah, so, it's a tough watch if you're a Richmond fan at the moment, and it's just almost going to get worse for them, unfortunately. I mean, the amount of injuries that they're occurring, and you've got to look at, are they soft tissues? But it's a whole box and dice, isn't it? It's all types of injuries that they're copying. So they've just got a new high performance or new weights coach involved. So yeah, it's a tough watch for them at the moment.
Brisbane's still my number one seed as well, by the way. So they're 3-3 on the season, but
still number one.
Yep. You?
Yep.
Yeah. So their defensive profile is actually very similar than it was at the same stage last year when they were 5-1. They've had two losses, one by 5 points and one by 2 points. I've left you 5 minutes at the end of the program. He's been holding up Science Base. He's saying, when are we going to get to my unicorns? You got five whole minutes.
You just have this history of not really managing
five
the clock.
5 minutes to talk about unicorns.
I thought I said something inappropriate when you were showing the sheet too. I was like, what have I said?
Drop. Hit the drop button. Here we go, Ben. Take it away. We've been building to it all program. It's the climatic finish. It's our main event. Ben's unicorn list.
Yeah, so I mentioned in our previews that we have too many unicorns being thrown around by AFL commentators, journalists, etc.
Yes.
So I've just been running a little ongoing audit, and I have found four different players by four different commentators listed as unicorns. The first defending party was Joel Pederson, who referred to Luke Jackson as a unicorn back in round one.
Fair minute and a half for Luke Jackson.
His spread's elite. A big unicorn.
So that was Joel Pederson in round one, referring to Luke Jackson. I was also I was actually sent this by a listener of ABC AFL Daily Digger.
People are monitoring the unicorns themselves.
Yeah, so like Diggers text me in. He's got the nickname Diggers from Dig Me Morell. His surname's Morell. So he texts me in and said that he was watching your game on pay TV, Corbin, when Mark Rusciuto was the offending party, referencing Mark Blitzarves.
Deconing kicks that goal and then he's gone straight back to full back. So he's been playing in the ruck and switching it full back. That's going back to the
good old days.
The 70s.
It was the back pocket normally, wasn't it? The back pocket had come up with the forward pocket.
And without Blitzarves in the side, because he's the unicorn, he does everything for him. Wing, ruck, midfield, back, forward.
So we got Luke Jackson and we got Mark Blitzarves.
And then we've got Jared Healy on another game you were doing, Corbin. Oh. So you've been right there front and
common
centre.
Common thread, isn't it?
I'm a unicorn whisperer.
This was sent in to me by one of our loyal family members here on AFL Monday or ABC AFL Daily. This is Jared Healy referencing Ethan Reid.
Well, both clubs have had their opportunities. Melbourne had one at the other end of the ground 3 minutes ago, didn't make the most of it. The rebound and the fluency of the ball movement has been superb. Tommy Mack probably should have marked this one. He came off his man and he ran back with a flight of the ball. And so in the end, it was a gift. And that just should have been swallowed. And then at ground level, the unicorn nails it.
So Ethan Reid, a unicorn as well. And Dan M had texted me in this as well, or sent it through to me. Josh Gabelich was an offending party in a print story, referring to Sam Darcy as a unicorn. So we've got four different unicorns by four different media members, which I think is too many.
So the unicorn list sits at Ethan Reid, Mark Blitzarves, Luke Jackson, and Sam Darcy. Are our four unicorns running? There's more unicorns than there are thoroughbreds or dogs or cats or anything like that.
Too many.
I'm going to call someone a griffin. I feel like I need to pick another mythical creature. Too many.
I wouldn't even know what a griffin. What's a griffin?
Griffin's like a lion, but also has like wings, I think, on it. So it's like a lion that flies, like a peck. Okay.
Oh, I just feel like a unicorn. There should be one of them. Yeah. Like it's a mythical creature. So it doesn't exist.
Yeah, which is fine.
The whole industry. No,
I agree with you. It's a good talking point. I like the segment. But if one of those journalists or people are going to say someone else is a unicorn, then that's the
cardinal sin.
Holy smokes!
The steam just arise from your head, Ben.
Can you imagine so all these people, they've got their one unicorn.
Yeah.
So as an industry, I think it's fair to say we've got too many unicorns.
Yeah.
But if you have more than one unicorn,
So a few things. Do you know what a group of unicorns are called?
There can't be a collective noun for
there
unicorns.
There is. It's a blessing of unicorns. And do you know which nation has the unicorn as its national animal?
No.
Scotland.
Right.
That Scotland. Right. So I will put the way we're tracking at the moment.
That's
got to
be incorrect.
No wonder he needed 5 minutes for this segment. It's got collective nouns and
that's true.
National
Scotland's
animals.
National animal is a unicorn. And I will, at this rate, I'll be able to put together an all-Scottish 23 of unicorns by the end of the year that media members have come together.
So we're asking our audience, keep your ears peeled. Yeah. If you hear across various platforms, any unicorns running about, make sure you're up to date with all of that. Thanks for listening. Your home of footy conversation right here on ABC AFL Daily. 5 episodes a week, including tomorrow, where Bob Murphy joins me to pick apart all the footy shows from a Monday night, which set the agenda in the world of footy. Hope you can join us then here on ABC AFL Daily.